with information on the latest developments in assistive technology and initiatives from the studios of 2RPH in Sydney. RPH Australia brings you AbleQuest. Hello, I'm Marnie Roper. This week we welcome back a frequent and popular guest, David Woodbridge. David is an adaptive technology consultant for Vision Australia. He assesses, recommends and installs assistive technology solutions for clients who are blind or visually impaired. We were curious to know how he puts his extensive knowledge to personal use as a blind person himself. So we decided to ask David to talk about a day in the life of the Woodbridge family. Barbara Sullivan asked him if his day started by talking to his old friend Siri.
I do, actually. The first thing I ask to do after my alarm's gone off is what the weather today is. And that's either on my iPhone or my Apple Watch. I tend to use Siri quite a lot during the day, and of course all my other stuff that I tend to use as well. But yeah, Siri is the first artificial intelligent thing off the ramp in the morning.
Presumably, if Siri tells you it's going to be a very hot day, you then can adjust your air conditioner or do those other things that you might
Correct.
Do with Siri.
Exactly. But unfortunately, I can't tell Siri to adjust the air conditioner quite yet. But basically, yeah, so I have to use another app because I've got this little infrared device that's connected to my Wi-Fi network, and it emulates a remote control to the air conditioner. It's called Sensibo, S-E-N-S-I-B-O. And what that allows me to do primarily via the website interface, either on my iPhone or my Mac, Windows PC for that matter, is I can independently change the mode, so fan, dry, heat, etc., the temperature and the fan speed all independently. So rather than guessing that I've cycled around properly on the real quote physical remote, I can use the Siri web interface, sorry, the Sensibo web interface to do that. And unfortunately, the Sensibo app itself is not very accessible for voiceover users, so that's why I use the website version. But no, at last, along with my television that we'll talk about later, I can now independently do something as simple as just changing over your air conditioner mode, fan or temperature.
Which everybody else takes for granted.
Yeah, exactly, correct.
Like all families, morning's a busy time, so a cup of coffee is probably the first order of the day. Do you make your own?
I do make my own, and again, I do it via an app. So I've got a very expensive $3,500 coffee machine, which makes you all wonderful grinded coffee and does hot chocolate and everything
wow.
else. But of course, when I bought this coffee machine for my brand new kitchen last year, it's a touchscreen one. Of course, I can't access that thing by myself. So I use, again, an app called the Coffee Link app for this particular coffee machine on my iPhone to then select the different types of coffee I want, or do I want chocolate or do I want hot water, all that sort of stuff. Again, that's completely driven via the app. So usually when I'm walking between the master bedroom and the kitchen, I'm effectively loading up the Coffee Link app, choosing my coffee, and by the time I've got into the kitchen, it's grinding and doing the milk. So I normally just arrive, and about 30 seconds later, I can take my lovely cappuccino off the coffee machine in the cup that I leave there overnight and enjoy my coffee.
Well, I want one of those. Now, what about the bathroom? Is there any special technology you use to make the whole ablution process easier?
I guess in the bathroom, I mean, two things. I don't know why they always say these things belong in the bathroom, but I sort of group them in the bathroom to remember them. And I've got a blood pressure monitor that I use, again, via an app. On my iPhone, if I want to check my blood pressure, particularly if I've been on the exercise bike or the treadmill in the morning, doing a bit of exercise. And then I've also got this Bluetooth scale called Y-Things. But what the Y-Things scale does is it does multiple profiles, so that when you stand on the scales roughly around your same weight, it knows it's you, or if my wife stands on it or my boy stands on it, we can all have our individual profiles. And of course, it does not only your weight, it does your body mass ratio, it does your heartbeat, it does your oxygen level of your blood. I don't quite know how it does that one. And of course, it also gives you the weather. Now, the weather stuff stays on the flat scale, but all the information about my blood pressure, heartbeat, body mass ratio and everything else, that comes through the app. So that's really excellent.
How do you pick your clothes, or don't you care whether you have clashing colours?
Yeah, look, there's a tremendous app that probably everybody's heard about now called the Seeing AI app from Microsoft. It does lots of different things. So I tend to use that to either identify clothes or other items that I've got in the closet. I've also used another different types of colour apps, but the problem I find with them sometimes, unless you've got very definite colours, sometimes the hues of the colours get the apps a bit confused. And depending on whether you've got the light on in the bedroom or the sun coming through the window, all that ambient light can also affect it. So most of the time, I can rely on the colour thing, but when I'm putting my clothes away after ironing them or anything else, I tend to try and group them into colours so you know, I know what's blue, what's white, what's black and so on. And I've also got those little tags you can stick on clothing to let you know what sort of colours they are before you take them out of the wardrobe.
So imagine Google Home plays an important part in your day. Can you give us a brief overview of how it's set up and how it helps you?
Yep, so basically Google Home, you need to set it up via your smart device, whether it's a tablet or a phone, and that's both either iOS, so your iPhone, your iPad, or Android, you know, i.e. things like the Samsung phone or tablet. So what you basically do, you run through the Google Assistant to set up the Google Home. The reason why you're using that is because you want to set it up with your Wi-Fi network. You want to tell it where you live, you want to give it permissions to access your location, you want to tell it what sort of music services you might want to have access to, such as, you know, Apple Music, Google Play Music, YouTube Red, Spotify, etc. So you give it all these permissions, and then once you've set it all up, you then really don't have to use the Google Assistant unless you want to sort of change different things like the name of the device. I've got five in my home. One's called the office because it's in the office, one's in the kitchen, dining room, study, and I've got a couple in the boys' bedroom. Once you set it all up and you're happy with it, primarily most of the time, you can then just use the Google Home or the little one, the Google Mini, independently. So I can say things like, particularly in the morning, I can say this to Google Home, broadcast message, and I can send a message to all the other Google Homes around the house, which of course means I can say, come on boys, it's 6 a.m. in the morning, time to get up and ready for school. Or in the afternoon, I can go, oi, come on, we've got 15 minutes for karate, time to get moving. So that's really cool. The other really cool thing I love about Google Home, which Siri does not do, exclamation mark, on my iPhone, is I can say to Google Home, okay, Google, what is the next bus from my current location to Gosford Station, because I'm here on the Central Coast, and it will tell me what the next bus is closest to me to the station. Or I can say, oh, look, I'm on the way home from work, because occasionally I work in Parramatta in Sydney at Vision Australia. So I can say, what's the next train from Parramatta to Strathfield going to Gosford? And again, I can get the train times. And that's just done simply via your voice. So just those little simple things. And probably one finally that I'd love pointing out to people is that both the Google Home, so the Home and the Mini, and the Amazon Echo, they do multiple timers so that when you're cooking, you can do multiple timers. So if you're cooking pasta, you can set one timer for the pasta, one for the garlic bread, another one for the sauce and so on.
Oh, that's terrific.
Whereas, you know, poor old Siri at the moment can only do one timer. So that's the thing I absolutely love about Google Home is that you can, and in the Echo, is that you can do these multiple timers for different reasons.
Siri is not a multitasker, you're telling us.
No. Look, she does some really cool things. I must say, I use the HomePod also in my kitchen as well. I've actually got an Echo, a Google Home, and a HomePod in my kitchen, or sort of kitchen stroke dining room. But one cool thing the HomePod does, which Google Home and the Echo does not do in Australia currently, they do it overseas, and that is I can make a phone call via my iPhone with the HomePod. So if I'm in the kitchen and I know my wife's picked up the boys and she's on the way home from karate and I think, oh no, we don't have any tinned tomatoes for the pasta tonight, I can just say to the HomePod, call Ellen on her mobile, and then via my iPhone, it will call and I can use the HomePod as a loudspeaker, two-way conversation through the HomePod speaker, or I can use the HomePod again to send a message. I can send a message to Ellen saying, can you pick up some tomatoes from the local store? And that goes through the iPhone, and when it's received back to me, I get a beep on the HomePod saying there's a message come in, and I can just say to the HomePod, hey Siri, read my last message. In effect, I've almost got hands-free communication away from my iPhone using the HomePod as well.
Let's get back to public transport. You mentioned that Google Home gets you to the bus, to the train, so it's obvious you get around by public transport. What are some of the ways that it works for you with complete vision impairment? How do you know when to get off? What other aids help you or others?
There's a couple of different apps that I use when I'm travelling. So the first one, I tend to use an app called Blind Square, which is the general GPS app for blind people that always gives you current location information. That's really handy. And again, I've set up some waypoints, I guess you'd call them, at the station, so I roughly know where the stairs are when the train pulls in. I use another app called TripView Sydney because I work in Sydney. It also works in Melbourne. And TripView is absolutely brilliant because not only does it tell you the train time, it also tells you what platform the train's leaving off. So I can just walk up to Gosford Station and think, oh, yeah, the 705 train to Strathfield's leaving from platform one. So rather than me trying to find a sighted person to go, hey, excuse me, can you tell me what the next train is, I can just use the app to do that. And a service which just became available that I've started to use in Australia now, it's been available in the US for a while, it's called AIRA, A-I-R-A, and it's a subscription service where you can talk to an agent who's been trained to deal with blind or low vision people and give you audio directions on your travel or if you're at home in the pantry doing all sorts of things that I would normally use a sighted person for. And what I find really handy with this service is that I can ring up the agent before I get on the train and say, you know, hi, it's David. Can you tell me how close the open door is to the train? So they, via my iPhone camera, or later on in Australia, smart glasses that link up to my iPhone or Android device, guide me to the train door. When we're inside, I can then say to the agent, look, you know, would you mind telling me where there's a seat? And then when I get to the seat, I say, thanks for that, and off I go. So it's a paid subscription service. It's about $89 Australian, but it's just amazing. For the first time travelling between Strathfield and Parramatta, which is quite a busy line, I've been able to get a seat because sometimes as a person who's vision impaired, you go onto the train and you say, excuse me, can someone tell me if there's a seat available? And of course, nobody answers you.
It's no, of course not.
Whereas having this sighted person in your phone, so to speak, you can use it whenever time you like. So it's an absolutely brilliant service.
Isn't that brilliant? As you say, not just for public transport, but for all other aspects.
Absolutely, because I've had these mystery tins in my pantry now for about a year, and they're all the same size, and they've all got ring pulls on them. The other day I thought, right, that's it. So I rang up the IRA agent and I said, can you help me identify all the different cans in my pantry? And then as we went through them, I just got my little braille dial, my label out, and just stuck some labels on the sides of the cans. So that worked out really well. And I've used them for mail. I've even used them for my guide dog decided that she didn't want to answer me in the backyard one day. She just thought that I'm just going to lay here and ignore my boss. And I went up the IRA agent and I said, this is a weird request, this one, but can you help me find my guide dog in my backyard? And that worked beautifully. I think she had a really, really busy day. So I think she just came home and just lying in the sunshine and thought, well, sorry, boss, I'm no harness, I'm off duty now. But no, the IRA service is great. It's different from Be My Eyes, which is the other free one that people can use because that's a volunteer-based one. This is a purely paid subscription service where right. You're talking to professionals that are particularly trained to do this job.
So I suppose you're closely following the progress of driverless car technology.
Yeah, look, I'd have to say I'm not 100% convinced about self-driving cars because I'm always wondering, you know, what happens if they break down in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, because you wouldn't know where you are. I mean, I know they're quite reliable and everything else. I'm over 50 now, and I remember in the late 80s, we had that fantastic TV series called Knight Rider 2000, where we had the talking car kit. And I just thought, wouldn't it be cool these days? So rather than, yes, having a self-driving car, I reckon it'd be really cool if your car also talked to you and you can talk back to it so you could have a two-way conversation. I think that'd be really cool. So I'm not only hanging out for the self-driving car bit, I'm hanging out for a kit. I want a black Trans Am that I could leap into, take off into the sunset and have a good chat to my car on the way to my destination.
So on that note, we conclude part one of our discussion with David Woodbridge. Do tune in to part two in a fortnight to hear more about the fascinating technology in the Woodbridge household.
You have just been listening to AbleQuest, a program that looks at developments in assistive technology. From Barbara Sullivan and Marnie Roper, thank you for listening and goodbye till next program.
So on that note, we conclude part one of our discussion with David Woodbridge. Do tune in to part two in a fortnight to hear more about the fascinating technology in the Woodbridge household.